To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all day long. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, let us pray. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. In this psalm, David is talking about transgressions and past sins. And he asks God, he says, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. And as we have been walking with God for the last several weeks, walking with God in many different ways, I thought we need to walk with God in truth. We need to learn and know truth, and we want to make sure we follow those things. And I feel like sometimes, you guys probably know, as you've taken walks, if you're married, you may have taken a walk with your spouse and you're walking along and you're just doing the task of walking. And I'm talking about just a walk, not for exercise, but just a walk that you're taking and you walk along and you're just kind of by that person. But I feel what God wants us to do, God wants us to walk intimately with Him. And that's walking hand in hand, not just doing the moment, but being in the moment of our walk with God. Not just the time where we're walking beside God going, oh yeah, God, I'm a Christian, I'm just walking along here. Oh, we got to go to church on Sunday, got to show up for Bible study on Wednesday, Ground Zero on Wednesday. Okay, God, let me do that. And then off goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're still walking. Oh, here comes Sunday, let me grab God's hand. Hey, God, let's walk into church together. Walk out of church. Okay, you take your car, I'm taking mine, God, and we'll be dismissed. I think God wants us to walk intimately with Him in truth. I think there's several things we need to do. And by the way, as a church, He desires for the church to walk intimately with Him. You guys are not merely attenders. You are the church. For some of you, it could be the first time you've ever stepped foot in a church. It could be the first time in this church. We have several visitors today. It could be your millionth time to step in a church. You know, however many, a bunch. But God desires every time, every second we walk with Him, to be intimate. And not just a doing the moment, but a being in the moment with God. You are the church body. And I think that God is calling this church body to a higher calling. And I think He's calling us to a deeper walk with Him. And I'm so glad we're doing the walking with God, because He desires a deeper walk with Him. And I think you guys feel it. I think you sense it. And I think you know it. I think during today's music, you just feel the power of God coming in and filling your body. And that's what it's like. Every morning, Pastor Jack says he gets up and he prays to God. Prays for the needs, prays for, gives thanksgiving, prays for enemies. When you do that, that fills up your body and your soul and your heart and your mind with God, the Spirit of God. We need that every single day. As most of you know, I've been working quite a bit on Sundays. I don't like it at all. And I was talking one day and said, it's easy to see when you sit out of church for a couple weeks, several weeks, when that turns into several, it's real hard to go back. Now, it's not hard for me, but I'm saying you can see how easy it is to step out of that. Okay, now I wasn't home sleeping. I was at work sweating to death, but God desires us every day when we wake up to fill ourselves with a new man. Renew your mind daily. And we have to do these things. Today we're going to be studying in the book of John. So if you would turn to the book of John, we're going to read a couple different chapters. First we'll go to John 8. As a church, when we walk with God, we have two very important responsibilities when we walk with God and when we walk intimately with God. And number one, that is to know the truth. To know the truth. Number two, God calls us to share the truth. To know the truth and share the truth. John 8:31 is where we're going first. Give you a minute to get there. in John 8:31. The truth shall make you free. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My words, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many people need to be freed today? Go ahead, I can hear you. Go ahead. Freedom from people, freedom from sin, freedom from restriction, freedom from the enemy. Freedom for some of you will be simply to praise and worship God and be able to raise your hand. Freedom will be releasing past sins for some of you today. Freedoms will be forgiving other people. Freedom will be asking others to forgive you. Very humbling thing sometimes to walk up and say, I need you to forgive me, and they don't know what you're talking about. And they may not, but for some of you, it's freedom saying, well, I had these bad thoughts about you. I had these bad comments about you. I said this to somebody about you. And sometimes it's merely, I did something wrong and I need you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? We need to be freed with the truth of Jesus Christ. In that it says, if you abide in My word, the word abide means to remain or continue in My word. A believer who continues to obey in the word is a disciple and a learner. When we talk about knowing the truth, we know the truth by studying and reading and learning. I was talking at Miss Donna's camp for the King's Kids, the Edge Camp. And I said, we can't go to school and learn if we aren't studying that constantly. There's a certain point also, when we study, then we have to acknowledge the truth and embrace the truth. 2 + 2 = 4. We all know that. There's a certain point where we just didn't know what that meant. 2 + 2 = 4? There's a point where you understand and learn 2 + 2 = 4, and then you embrace that and you know that as truth. When we talk about sharing the truth, that means we have to talk about it to other people. We have to share the truth with other people. But it's not merely our words, is it? It's our actions. We have to model the truth to other people. In John 13, flip over a couple chapters to John 13. And that certainly isn't it. I've done that before, haven't I? Oh, no, that is it. I'm sorry, that is it. I had my numbers crossed, I thought. John 13, 31. I thought it was 31, 13. John 13, 31 talks about the new commandment. One of the truths about Jesus Christ is He came in with a new commandment. He said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and glorify you a little while longer. You will seek Me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going you cannot come. So now I say to you, and this in verse 34 is His new commandment. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are My disciples if you have love for one another. So sometimes it's not just our words. It's our actions. We can show love through our actions. We can say, I love you all day long. I used to go to school with a young man who said, well, my mom says she loves me, but she says that usually she's hitting me. Smacking him around. Believe me, I heard his mom coming many times. And my twin brother and I, we took cover under the bed or in the closet and we hid. And we heard the abuse that she gave him. And she would smack him around. And he said, don't you love me? And she said, yes, I love you. So words don't do enough. And sometimes they don't mean anything. It's our actions. It's our actions that show love. But our words can do that also, but they're followed up by our actions. Now, okay, so we have a truth that we need to love one another. The truth will set us free, it says. Now there's a truth that says we must love one another. That you love one another as I loved you, as Christ loved us. We cannot love one another as our parents have loved us, sometimes abusive, as our ex-spouses have loved us, as our current spouses have loved us, as our boyfriends and girlfriends, as our friends have loved us, because sometimes that's improper love. young people who don't have love from a father or a mother at the home oftentimes find love in the arms of somebody else because they think that's love, that's acceptance. That's not in God's Word. His commandment is, love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus Christ, as God has loved you. As many of you that have the love of people in your life, the world's love, and that's wrong. In some cases, that's wrong. Love one another as I have loved you, as God has loved you. Now in the church, if we'll flip over, maybe on the same page, may not be, but John 14. I think here's the biggest truth of a believer. John 14, many of you are familiar with it. Verses 1 through 6. The way, the truth, and the life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. If He's going to prepare a place for us, right here in His words, He will return again and receive you to Himself. That where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. And Thomas said to the Lord, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And to me, one of the biggest truths as a Christian is, and the biggest thing that we need to share with others, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you are a non-believer today, and you're not sure what that means, you need to come up and talk to me afterwards so that I can tell you exactly what that means. For some of you, that's the difference between life and death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But as Christians, as believers, when we die, we have life in Him in heaven. And we have to pass that on. We have to share that with other people. I'm not good at speech. I feel that's kind of personal. Yeah, it's personal how you receive Jesus Christ. But it's a commandment, and here we'll get to in just a minute, it's a commandment to tell other people about that. If you're a non-believer today, you'll have an opportunity at the end of the service to find out exactly what that means. You'll have an opportunity to find the way, the truth, and life. And you'll find a way because you will come to the Father through Jesus Christ. As we flip over just a little bit, I'll just read it. You guys don't have to go there. But Colossians 3, it's talking about the character of a new man. And we talk about when we become Christians, we are a new man in Christ. And we have a renewing to do. And I appreciate what Scott said today. As individuals, we all need to come together. Each one of us have a different part. Imagine what praise and worship would be if we all sang like Haley. She sings like an angel, but man, she's up there and I'll never hit that note. Or if we sang like Eric. He's way down there. Some of you guys will smoke 10 cigars to get there. We all have different parts, but as Scott said, we come together as individuals lifting our voice up. Lifting our voice up. And if you don't sing well, sit way over in the corner, off to the side. Heck, I stood back there by the doors and sang. And then I shifted spots so they'd think it was somebody else. That's what I do. Oh, Lordy. Colossians 3 talks about the character of a new man. And in verse 13 it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do and forgive one another. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And then it goes on to say, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We are one body. It goes further down there in verse 17. It says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When we walk with God, when we walk with Him, we know the truth. The truth right here says, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do as though unto the Lord. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks." When we share that truth, it also says up above there, "Above all, put on love." When we share the truth, we need to do that with love of Jesus Christ. And there's complaints back in Jesus' day, right there. He wouldn't have said it. "If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also forgive." It's back to the love factor. If I forgive as my neighbor forgave, they didn't forgive, so I'm not forgiving. So when we base our truth on man, we're messed up already, right out of the gate. We forgive as God the Father forgave us. We love one another as God the Father loved us. We walk in unity as individuals, but in unity. You ever watch the old movies or films of giant armies? Everyone an individual, but when they march in every step is perfect. They walk in unity. And that's the church. Those are the believers in Jesus Christ. When we walk in unity, every one of our steps will be in sync. Now, when they first got there, I'm sure some people, as everyone was going left, right, left, right, they were going right, left, right, left. But in time, through people sharing with them and teaching the truth about how to do that, they got in sync. It's talking about studying in the Word of God. And we have to take time to do that. So as we talk about sharing, we're going to flip back to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to a few different spots, but it's important as we walk with God to know where we're going and how we're going to back it up. One of the examples I was going to give earlier was to tell you guys, and don't go there, but I was going to tell you guys to go to Obadiah chapter 3 and see how many went there and said, "I'm there." How many books in the book of Obadiah? How many chapters? I mean, there's one chapter. But if I said, "Let's go to Obadiah chapter 3, many of you, yeah, everyone there, yeah, amen, I'm there. And they don't know if it's the beginning. We have to learn. We have to train ourselves. And if somebody told us something, and it sounded biblical, but is it truth? Pastor's always said, "I appreciate what you said. Let me just check it out in this. This is my study book." Now, there's other study books to help you with the Bible. Check it out in here and check with trusted sources. There's many people, and the Bible even talks about many people who will teach the Word of God, but they will do it for their own gain. And they will lose themselves. In Matthew chapter 28, I was speaking on this to the Camp Edge camp with the King's kids. And it just kind of had a new meaning to me as I went through it. In verse 16, talks about the Great Commission. Said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted." And we're back to the truth again. The disciples, they have walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years plus, give or take. Walked with Him. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. We can sit in the church and we just doubt sometimes and we don't embrace the truth. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, I love this. This is a part that just kind of came alive to me. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So in the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore into all the nations, making disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Okay, how do we do that? We do that through teaching. They do that through learning and studying. In Matthew 28, Jesus spent time walking with them, teaching with them, walking intimately with them, walking with God, and yet some didn't believe. We know that, and again, don't turn here, but in John chapter 6, verse 66, it states, many disciples left Jesus' side. They didn't understand this. They didn't understand how it could be when he talked about, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper today. And he was talking about, I am the bread of life. And they didn't understand that and said, how can this be? And many disciples went away. It makes you wonder how close their walk was. Were they just doing a task? Or were they actually being involved in that task? We've talked about that before, where the church work is important. We need people to do church work. But it's vitally important that we do the work of the church also. And part of that is knowing and understanding and learning the Word of God, accepting the truth in that, embracing that truth, and then taking that truth and going out and sharing that with our neighbors, with our relatives, with the lost, with those that have left the church. You just got to wonder how close that walk was. We're a group of believers. A lot of times in different church books, it always talks about a ragtag group of believers. And what they mean is we all have our problems, our issues, our concerns, the things that upset us. But I don't think that we can afford to play church. I don't think the church in this day and age, and by the church, I mean the universal church, Christian believers, I don't think we can afford to play church. When we walk with God, we've got to be holding His hand. We've got to go where He wants us to go. And a lot of times, it's like, I'm going to walk with God, and God's leading us down here. No, God, I want to go over here. I'm going to check this out. God's pulling us that way. And sooner or later, we're walking. God went His way, and we went our way. Because we didn't give up control of our lives. We wanted to retain, God, I'm going to give my life to You and my heart to You, but God, I'm going to tell You where we're going today. Or we just hop in the car and we just go our place and we forgot to even pick Him up. He's standing next to the garage going, what about me? You forgot me today, Adam. Many people, you look at about the Pharisees, many people continue to learn. They study. And then they don't embrace the truth of Jesus Christ. They don't embrace what that means to their life. Or worse yet, we embrace the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I don't want to study about it though. I don't want to know more. And so what we can share with others is so small compared to what it could be. We fail to keep learning. An example would be, we all want and need joy in our life. So I want joy in my life. Okay, whoo, I found joy. That's one side of it. You studied, you found joy, but did you embrace the truth? You need Jesus Christ also. You can find joy. There's a lot of people that have joy in life, doing what they're doing, but they're doing it completely disconnected from God. So the truth isn't that we need joy and happiness and peace and all those things. The truth is we need a risen Savior in our life. And when we have a risen Savior, those things will come to us. We will find those things. Lucy will find joy and comfort in her Lord and Savior. She will find joy and comfort in her church family. She will find joy and comfort in her new status as a citizen. So it's not just that we need joy and happiness. We need a risen Savior. And those are the things you learn by studying. When you listen to the false teachers, they'll tell you, you've had a spiritual experience. You found joy. That's awesome. Did you find Jesus Christ on the cross? Did you find Him today? We have to understand the truth is we need a risen Savior and we need God. When we talk to other people and we want to share that, we want to share about the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. You ever notice when you ask somebody, hey, how you doing? Well, notice that downfall? That's their attitude going, it just went off the cliff. Come up to me, how you doing? Say, man, I'm doing great. You know, work is hard and I'm struggling. But man, my God is good to me. Why won't they ask me how I'm doing anymore? Every time I go near them, they hop on their cell phone.
Here they come. You're going to pull out the cell phone and start talking to somebody. And then if you don't silence it and it rings and you're like, uh-oh, busted, I'm faking it. We have to give people some hope for getting out of bed each day. And some people, I dare say, they probably look at some people and say, ooh, I want to be a Christian, but every time I ask how to do it, it's just womp, womp, womp. It's just Debbie Downer. It's just bad news. And man, if I become a Christian, they talk about all this joy and peace. But man, I don't ever see joy and peace come out of their mouth. I don't see joy and peace come out of their house. I don't see joy and peace come out of their car. When they get up out of bed and they put their 2 feet on the floor, I don't see joy and peace in them. We have to be careful because guess what? People are watching. People are watching, and many people have made their decisions of being a Christian or not, and walking with God or not, by our actions and our words. And we need to elevate that. And there may be bad things going on. That's okay. But we need to be very careful how we share that, when we share that, with who we share that, and how long we share that. Not everyone's got an hour to listen to that. And some people probably got about 5 seconds they want to hear that. And then they, whoop. We have to be careful when we do those things. Now, I'm not talking about not being honest about problems. But I'm talking about knowing that Jesus Christ will take care of those problems. And if we spend half the time studying or praising God as we do complain about our issues, I think God's going to show up and fix some of those problems at least. I think He's going to do that. We have to get better when we walk with God, holding His hand, allowing Him to lead. I'm not a dancer, but if I was, I'd have to allow God to lead. And we have to follow. We have to get better at following God. And we have to get better at talking with God. And then once we understand the truth about God, it's our job and our duty to share that walk that we have and bring other people on that walk with us. Intimate walks with God are nice. You need to do that. And sometimes you just take a group walk. And we do that as a church body. Let's find ways to do that today. Let others see the hope that we have today. Church family, let us pray today. Father, we just thank You for this opportunity today to come together as believers, to study Your Word, to hear the truths that come out of Your words, that come out of Your book, God. God, we want to know what it's like. We want to feel and we want to experience walking intimately with You. We want to understand that. God, we ask the people today, we ask them today that they open their hearts and open their minds to discovering Your truth. God, today we just want to walk with You. We want to know how to share. We want to learn how to share the truth with other people. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to walk in Your presence. Father, today if there's those among us that don't quite know the truth and they're searching the truth, God, that they would discover that, they would experience that, and God, they would come into Your presence. Today, God, before we go to the Lord's table, we just ask as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, Lord, that if there's those that need to find You, that haven't accepted You today, God, that You would give them the strength and the boldness to acknowledge that and to begin seeking that. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to take that opportunity to do that, would you just raise your hand so that we can have an opportunity to speak to you, to talk to you, whether it's now or after the service?
so that you can find that comfort in heaven when you die. And you can know that when you die, you will have life.
I will cling to the old road.
As our men come forward to offer communion, our communion is open to everybody. We have open communion. We just ask that your heart be right, and we ask that you are believers in Jesus Christ, but it is open to all. If you have questions about communion and how we handle it or what that means, feel free to come up and ask us afterwards also. Some of you may want to just watch and spectate as we do that and not partake of it, but it is open communion. There's two ways to approach this, and one is Pontius Pilate knew the truth of Jesus Christ. He still took his hands and he washed his hands, and he says, I wash my hands of this. And some of you, even though you know the truth, may walk out of here and wash your hands of the truth of Jesus Christ for the rest of the week. And then the others are like the disciples who washed their hands and washed themselves and cleansed themselves. So we just ask that your heart is pure, your heart is right. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, that you pray about that and you take care of those things. If you would, let's go ahead and we'll just come down the aisles here. And if you would, take your communion back to your seats. And you can sit or stand, whichever you feel like doing. And then we'll serve those that aren't able to come up. On the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus Christ took the bread, and as he broke it and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." for as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this wine, do these things in remembrance of me. Church, let us eat. In a like manner, Jesus Christ took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Church, let us drink. After the disciples had taken the Lord's Supper, they walked out singing a hymn. Today we're going to close service with a hymn. And then afterwards, we just want to invite you, as Bob and Gina celebrate their marriage today, we want to invite you to reception in the fellowship hall and just congratulate them and show your love on them. We'll close as we sing.